Today's Mishnah is Kelim Perekhez, Mishnaches. So we've been discussing the openings into an oven, and particularly vents. We talked about the vents of a tanur, vents of a kira, and the question whether that was part of the toch. But there's also other things that are questionable as to whether they're the toch. So for instance, let's say we find the sheretz in the place in the mokom hanochas ha'etzet. So there's always a little opening where you put inside the wood under your stovetop. And that's where you have the fuel going in. And that also means that we have to deal with what's going to be the din if something is outside of the inner wall and inside of the outer wall. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, So let's say the sheretz is inside, even the most outside part of that opening, the part that is closest to the outside, as long as it's within, it's considered to be part of the toch of the kira. And the chachamim omrim misafa pnimit velachutz tahor. No, it's got to be inside the actual kira, but once it's inside that additional hole, which goes from the outside to the inside to allow you to put in fuel, that's not considered to be a toch of the kira itself. Rabbi Yossi Omer, if the sheretz is found, mi keneged shvitat akteira v'lefnim tamei. The truth is that it needs to be from the point of the kira, where it would be underneath the place that you put down the pot. So then it's tamei. But if the sheretz, even if it's inside of the kira, but it's not under the place that you would put down the pot bottom, so then it's tahar, because even though it's surrounded by the actual sides of the kira, it's not considered to be the same as a tanur, which the entire inside is considered to be the toch. According to Rabbi Yossi, since I don't cook in the inside, the only meaningful place of the kira is the place which is the area where the pots are heated. The pots are heated in the place which is under the shvitat hakdera. But any place else is not considered part of the kira itself, even though into the eye, it seems to be surrounded by that wall. But so what? It's not the place that is making the pot hot. So according to him, we're much more makom. Nimtza makom yeshivat habalan. Let's say we find the sheretz in a place which is right underneath where the balan is the person who would deal with all of the problems in the merchatz. He would keep things going. He would sometimes do the massages or bring in the towels and so on. Or if it's in the place where a yeshivat hatzaba, it's a place where the person who does the dyeing would sit on the hot areas that he's able to put the clothing into the dye pot. Or let's say it's a place where people that are cooking olives. So these are all types of kiras, but they all had a place where you could sit down so it would keep the person warm too. So he would be able to work even at freezing temperatures. So people that were showcase a team, they were the ones that would cook the olives and that would make them soft. All of these things are considered to be not part of the inside of the kira. And therefore, it's tahar. Again, they're completely open to the inside of the kira, but they don't serve the purpose of the kira per se. In tamei ela min hastima v'lifnim. It's only from the place where the pots would be closing the opening if you put the block on the pot on top. Which is the equivalent of putting it on top of the modern burner. So anything else, alibit Rabbi Yossi, is not considered to be the toch of the tanur. Mishnah Tet. Now, there are certain things that are not really normal kiras, or not really normal tanurim. So let's say that you've got a hole in the ground, a bor. Sheyesh bo beit shefita. So you have place to put down. You lined it, and now you'd be able to put a pot on the lining itself. And this would be true even if it wasn't in a hole. It happens to be in a hole, which is going to keep it much warmer and so on. But the lining is done with bricks that were actually able to stand on their own. And now you're putting down a pot on the edge of the bricks that surround the hole all around, so that effectively it's like a kira. That would be tamei, even though it's mechubar lekarka, because it's considered to be, remember, a kira and a tanur v'kiraim, which are always mechubar lekarka, or almost always b'chol b'karka, is gufa part of the din of the tumas tana v'kirayim. V'shal osei zechuchit, let's say that you made this hole in order to make the sand that you're going to be using for silicon to make glass. You put the pot on this. So im yesh bo beit shvita, if you put it down, there's a place for a pot. It is also considered to be the equivalent of a kira, and it became tame, even though it isn't really used in its creation. It's not used for food. It's used for making glass. But lamaisa, since it can be used and is sometimes used for such a thing, it's considered to be a kira as well. Kivshan, on the other hand, a kivshan shal sayadin v'shal zagagin v'shal yotzrin. If you have a furnace that was made to make seed, seed has to be heated very hot, it's lime, in order to make it usable, or you made a glass furnace. This is not referring to melting the silicon. It's actual, to the actual glass furnace where you blow the glass in and so on. Or if it was shel yotzrim, it was a guy who was making kli cheres, he's a potter, then it would be tor, because that is something that is extremely hot. People are not going to use an oven like this for food because it'll incinerate the food. And because of that, it's not considered to be bichlal, the teres chiddush of tanur v'kirayim yutatz. How about a purna? Purna is an oven that is different than the normal oven, which is, has its opening on top, and it's made like an inverted cone. This is an oven that has an opening like our ovens, and it opens from the side, and you don't put the pitot on the wall, you put the pitot on the ground. So im yesh la lizbeis tmeya, if there's a ledge that's going around the bottom of it, so then it can become tummy. But if it doesn't even have a ledge that allows you to put things down in it, then it's not similar bichlal. Like, because if you don't have a ledge, you're going to have to put the bread on the ground itself. That's not the equivalent of an ikira or a tanur. But if it has a ledge, then you could put a pot or you could put bread onto that size, onto that lizbeis. So because of that, it would have a din of a tanur. Rav Yehuda Omer. Rav Yehuda says, im yesh lo istigiot. Rav Gamliel says, im yesh lo sifayot. Now, some learn that these things are not different, and that actually the Rav suggests that this is just a getter of Chayav Adam Lomar Beloshen Rabbi, but there's no fundamental difference between these words. And the Stigia, is it Sephaya, is it Lizbeis? Others learn that it's different shapes and that they don't mean literally the same thing, but the idea is the same. If you don't have to cook on the ground, and you have something which will support the bread or support the pot, then it would have a din of similarity to a kira. All right, now we're going to get back to the question of tocho. And that was something that we had done earlier on in the parak. And the shayla over here is, interestingly enough, if somebody's got food in his mouth, is the mouth considered to be, if he's, his mouth is inside of the tanur, is it considered to be the equivalent of toch tocho, or would that be considered to be part of the avir hatanur? What's the din? So a magav tmei mate, so a person who became tamei because he had touched someone who was tamei from a mate. Shohayu achalinu mashkin letoch pi. This guy had food, or he had mashkin, in his mouth. So if the guy who actually touched the avi avotatuma, which is the mace himself, is an avatuma. The person that we're talking about touched the avatuma. So he became a rishon atuma, which would mean that any machal or mashke would become a sheni lituma, which is fine. You can get a sheni from a rishon. You just can't be metame kalim or adam. Now, suppose this guy puts his head into the avir of a tanur. So then that would mean that the sheni that's in his mouth will make the entire tanur tame by being in the avir of the tanur. Now you'll say, what do you mean? But it's, how can a sheni be metame a avir of a tanur, since it takes a av to be metame? Ah, but you remember that we have the takana derabanan, that sheni, if it's mashkin, sheni can even be metame kalim. And this was because of the various gezeiras that we talked about, and the shaila of liquids that could be confused with mayones hazov, azova. Now, the only difference is that over here, it seems a little bit far-fetched, because here we're talking about that something that's in someone's mouth. We're not talking about stam, a liquid. So to say that because a mouth is not considered to be toch tocho, obviously, toch tocho has to be inside of another kli. So because the mouth is not considered to be toch tocho, so because of that, we're going to consider the mashkin as if they're literally touching? Yes. And in fact, it would be the same din of the overall gezerah of being metame, even liquids that are sheni, they're chozer liyos rishayin, and they're able to be metame kelim mitarab bona. How about vice versa? Let's say the tanner is tame, and the person puts in tohar food, which is in his mouth, tohar shaya ochlun mashkin latoch piv, v'ichniz roshola avir hatanur, he would actually, if it was tame, would be metame the food in his mouth. Why? Because since he is not considered to be a toch tocho, so then the entire thing is inside of the toch of a tanur tame, and a tanur tame can certainly be metame ochlin umashkin. Now we get into another issue, and that is that if somebody is eating, and he's eating a dvela. Dvela is like a dried fig that's pressed into a cake, and he's eating it with yadayim esoavot, with stam yadayim, that were not nitlu yadayim. Hichnis yadol toch piv litorat atzor. All of a sudden he feels a pebble or something in his mouth that was stuck to one of the figs. So he puts in his fingers to take out the piece of dirt. So Rabbi Meir holds that since the sheni yad has touched the roke in his mouth, the saliva, and that saliva now becomes a rishon. So that rishon, even though the yad, stam yadayim, are a sheni, but a sheni that touches mashkin makes it a rishon. So then that would mean that the rishon, which is the saliva, will make the devela, the whatever figs he has in his mouth, will make it Tomei, because a rishon can make a sheni. But in this case, Rabbi Yehuda is metayer, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not see roke as a mashkin while it's inside the mouth. It's just part of the goof. Rabbi Yossi says, well, I think it, to some extent Rabbi Meir is right. To some extent Rabbi Yehuda is right. Because look, if you were mahapech, you moved around the food in your mouth. So you were chewing it, you moved it from one side to the other. And when you touch them, so then that means that the roke that's on them is not in the place where it was actually secreted in the mouth. And if it's not in the place where it's secreted, then it doesn't matter whether it's outside the mouth or inside the mouth on a piece of food. The point is that it's no longer considered to be bottle to his goof. So in that, I hold like Rabbi Meir, because then he would be considered to be tummy. But if he hasn't moved it around, which means that the saliva is in the place where it was excreted into the mouth, so then I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because it's still considered to be a chelik of his goof. How about in a case where even if he hasn't moved around the figs at all, is there any case that Rabbi Yossi would say that the roke becomes tummy anyway? Yes. If you stimulated saliva. So let's say you put a coin in your mouth, and now you've all had the phenomenon, which I'm sure you remember as a little kid. You put a punyan l'toch piv, you put a penny in your mouth. So Rabbi Yossi says, im litzma'o, if you put that penny in your mouth, so that you should feel less thirsty because of all of the stimulated saliva that it makes, the metal in your mouth makes you excrete. So then even if you didn't move it from its place, because that means that you, bedavka, went out to have saliva that is not a stam bottle to your goof, but you wanted a liquid in your mouth. So the moment that you put your finger into your mouth, if you touch that saliva, so then that saliva would have a din of a mashka. And because of that, the mashka would become a rishon, and that would make the figs a sheni, and the figs would become tamei. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Ha'isha shenatav chalav midadeh. There's another interesting way to make a tanur tamei. A woman is leaning over a tanur, and she's a nursing mother, and a drop of milk falls from her breasts and goes into the Avir HaTanur. Now, the din is that if she was Tabea from Leda, then that milk is considered to be a tamei mashke, and therefore it will be tamei. And that's because mashkin that are tameim are metame whether it's l'ratzon or shelo l'ratzon. So it really doesn't matter. In other words, when we're talking about the din of hechsher and something has to be kiyutan dumya to kiyitain, so it's only where you wanted that ma'achal to be in that mashka, where you wanted the mashka to come to the world. But something that you don't want would not be machshir. But that's only a din in hechsher. But what about the gabi tuma itself? Doesn't make the least bit of difference whether a person wants that mashka or doesn't want that mashka. It still has a din of a mashka. And because of that, it would make the tanur tame by definition if the woman was tame. The same thing is true about dam. Let's say Aitago or Fato. She's got this shovel. And she's shoveling out the ashes from the inside of the tanur, and she got a splinter that pricked her, and now yatsa mimena dam. So it's a drop of dam. Or maybe she got burned and hadn't accurately judged the temperature. She sticks her finger into her mouth. Wow! Sticks into her mouth to cool it off. Meanwhile, there's a little bit of saliva on her finger. She now sticks her finger back into the tanur. The entire oven is tame because there was dam, which is a mashka, or there was roke, which is a mashka. And even though over here she had no intention of putting dam or roke because she didn't even want them to be coming out of here, so that would not be metame. Now here it's mashma that we're not talking about a woman who is tame from a tuma chamura, which would need to deal with the question of mayones. Which we're talking about over here, apparently, since anyway, she should have been metame the oven the moment she put her own finger in there, right? If she was really an avatuma. So apparently we're talking about a woman who's a rishon latuma. So she can't make it tame. The thing is, though, that mashkin that come from her, because of the gzeira d'rabbana, that mashkin achozu liyais rishon, so that would make this mishnah similar to the mishnah we had before. That because of the gzeira d'rabbana, the tanur here becomes tamei.